Anyway, go to a different land. Go to a land you knoweth not. Like he told Abraham, pick up your tent and move. Okay, so how does God set up his kingdom? You guys can participate. Makes it a little nicer when you're here all day. All right, first of all, how does it work? How does somebody get into the kingdom? And don't give me big, long words. Say it in English. Okay, because I can't spell big, long words anyway. How does someone go from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? They have to be born again. How do you get born again according to the word of God? Okay, how do you get to a place accepting Jesus Christ? Do what? The Holy Spirit begins to convict you of sin. All right, so we have the working of the Holy Spirit trying to get into you to build a house. We have the Holy Spirit calling you. If it's really the true gospel, the Holy Spirit's going to use people to love you. It's going to use people to encourage you. It's going to use people to make you hungry for the things of God. The Holy Spirit's going to use signs and wonders to make somebody say, wow, what's going on there? There's going to be miracles. There's going to be things happening to make you say, what is that about? And all of a sudden, it's all a working of the Spirit. Tracks are going to be left in your path. You turn on the radio station, it's the right song, it's the right teaching. Everywhere you go, you got the Holy Ghost saying, hey, can I come in and change your life? Can I make a home with you? Okay? So we have the Holy Spirit really calling us, convicting us of sin. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. He wants to save you with the goodness of God. That's how the Lord really got a hold of my heart. When I was pregnant with my daughter, there was something about being pregnant that made me realize there's got to be more to life than just what's here. I knew God was real, but something in me personally, it was the goodness of God. Wow, there's a whole life living inside of me. I always wanted to be a mom, and for my personal thing, that's something I really wanted. And for those of you that doesn't know how the Lord got you another way. But there was something there. I'm just telling you what he did for me. Because the goodness of God, he wants to get you through the goodness of God. If that doesn't work, he'll snatch you from the flames. He'll scare you to find the gospel. But his first choice is the good news. He says some are saved as if snatched from the flames. So there's a place for that. But honestly, we need to have more of God in us so we can help him see the good news first. Help him to really get healed. Help him to get saved. Love him. Love them. Ask God what the stronghold is that's stopping them. Oh, there's so much to the wisdom of God. So, all right, so we got the Holy Spirit working here. So who do you think we got working over here? The Holy Spirit, we're doing that side. Now what's the dark side? Okay. Beelzebul. Let me say this. There is a difference. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. The same Holy Spirit got you saved and got me saved. The same moment the Holy Spirit was getting me saved, he was probably getting thousands and hundreds of thousands of people saved at the same time. Satan doesn't have that kind of power. So, we do have the Father. Okay, we have the Father really in charge of it all, okay? The Father's really in charge of it all. Then we have the Son who's making intercession for us. It's finished. He made the way. He paid the price. He's the one who paid our debt. Oh, this is good. He's the one who paid our debt. Jesus made the way so that he could send the Holy Spirit. That's the scripture. It's better if I go that the Holy Spirit come, all right? So he wants to send the Holy Spirit. So the cool thing is, I'm just showing you, if we understand God's kingdom, we can see, first of all, how flimsy the devil's kingdom is. I mean, I'm telling you, all he can do is imitate. He can't even do a good job of it because he's not God. So we have the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Jesus is by his blood. Father has the plan. Father loved us so much, he sent his Son. Holy Spirit is now sent because Jesus went back to the right hand of the Father, where he's ever praying and interceding and working with the Holy Spirit in perfect unity to help to get us saved. And we've talked about that before, people who've seen it. Let me just say it because it'd be good to have on tape and it would be good for some new people. I'm going to put it in terminology for today. Here's the Father. He is perfect. He doesn't see sin. He doesn't deal with fear. He absolutely knows. He doesn't even care what Satan's up to. He's beyond that. Then the Holy Spirit begins to woo you and call you and deal with you and minister to you and want you to come in. So then he gets you. No matter what, maybe you went to a Bible study and you saw something you never saw before. People who loved God. And you're sitting here thinking about leaving your husband and dealing with your own sin issues and suicidal and depressed. Not that that's anybody we know. Anyway. But the Holy Spirit says, no, she's got value. She's got worth. I don't want her to kill herself. I don't want her to do these things. I just want her to know God. I know. Let's move her next door to that charismatic Bible study where they know God, at least not as much as they should, but some. And let's put her right next door. And I tell you what, we'll even use her husband, who's desperate because he doesn't want a divorce, to come over to his charismatic next door neighbors that he won't have much to do with and say, would y'all, I hear you got some little Bible study thing or something going on. That's so funny that God used that. Would you pray for my wife? Because she's really having a hard time. And then he, because of some issues, tells her what to do. And she goes. And there is this awesome sermon. This woman can preach. And but it was about the love of God. And the whole thing about how much he loves you. It was radical. It was about the love of God. And for this little Catholic girl, she never heard the gospel like this. But there was something longing in her for truth and hope. And she got saved. Her whole family got saved. The Holy Spirit was the one who had you move to the hometown. He's bigger than the military. The Holy Spirit put you right next door. So quit everybody trying to live in the big, big neighborhoods. Somebody right next door to you. God could use you. That's why I hate some of this false doctrine. Be where God wants you to be, wherever it is. And you can begin to see God working in your pain and in your hurt. Okay, so you see the work in Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So when Jenny, now the Holy Spirit and the Lord, they've done their thing. Jenny's saved. Oh, we're talking about you, aren't we? Oh, sorry. Okay, we'll just use you. Talk about me. Now Jenny's on the computer screen. The Father goes, oh, there's my daughter. I don't believe there's a real computer screen. You know, he doesn't need one. I'm just trying to put it in terms you can understand. Because he showed me this one day. And he goes, but he sees Jenny as a mighty woman of God. He sees her with this unbelievably wonderful marriage. He sees her with godly children wanting to serve God with everything in their life. He sees her doing all the works that he has for her to do that will glorify him. That's all he sees, folks. He's perfect faith. Absolutely no room for doubt and fear. No. This is what I see. Now, Jesus Christ, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father looking on the computer screen going, ah, wow, woo, this is what we got for her. Then he looks down at the Holy Ghost. Let's see. She thinks she has no value. She thinks nobody loves her. She thinks she'll never be a leader. She thinks she'll never have friends. The devil's got infirmity on her back because she doesn't have any backbone, because she won't stand up to abuse. She won't stand up for her kids. He's made her self-centered because of all her hurt and pain and fear. Father, can I see that again? Okay. I now know how to pray. Because Jesus is the mediator. He's the intercessor. Isn't this cool? This is what he does. I don't know, he does it for everybody one time, but he does. And he begins to say, okay, Holy Spirit, we need to get her to get the revelation of this. And I don't know, he does, everybody in your own lives, you start to see, whoa, this is all going on. We need to send an angel down there and stop this from happening. We need to see an angel for this. We need to get some people praying for this. Holy Spirit, we need to do this and we need to do that. Holy Spirit is doing what he sees, what the Son is sending him to do. He's the Lord. The Lord is sending him to do it. Now the Lord, who is obedient to the Father, wants to bring forth the Father's vision. He doesn't say, go do the works that glorify Jesus. He says, go do the works that glorify the Father. That's his heart desire. These guys have no problem with competition. They are so one. So now, he's working it. But, we're the big butt in this. God has chosen to use his church to be his hands, his feet, the ones to edify, build up, and equip, to be obedient. But he's given us free will, so he can't make us. And there is the problem. Oh, Holy Spirit, forgive me for every prayer you wanted me to pray, and I didn't listen. Forgive me for every person I was supposed to talk to, but I missed it. Forgive me for every dollar I was supposed to give, and I didn't. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. But help me to trust you more, that I don't miss it again. Let me do every work that the Father has for me to do. I mean, that's an awesome way to start your day. Father, today can I try, by the leading of your Spirit, to do every work you have for me to do today? You can't do anything about yesterday. There's no condemnation. Let it go. But folks, this is what we talked about earlier. God, we're not waiting on God. It's not about not praying enough. It's about vessels who are laborers. That's exactly what it's about. Healed themselves. Understanding God themselves, having his power and his love. And see, we come up with all this cute stuff because doesn't it all sound good? Doesn't it all look spiritual? Oh, doesn't it sell books? And the Lord said, I don't know why they're going through all this stuff, because I told them way back in my word when I was still alive, where are the laborers? The harvest is there. Well, how can you pray in a harvest? He didn't say pray in a harvest. He said, where are the laborers? He said, pray. He said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers. We're all praying for the harvest. Totally unbiblical. Because if we pray for laborers, he's going to tell you, guess what? You're supposed to be one of them. But you're just way too messed up and self-centered to do it. So let's deal with it. All right. So now let's see how the enemy would be doing this stuff. We're talking about the two different houses. You got to get the beginning tape. It's really awesome. But there's two houses that's in us. We can prove it. It's on the screen. It's cool. Everybody's always taught there's one house and you're supposed to clean the devil out. But there's two houses. God isn't going to share a house with the devil. He is not going to room in with the enemy. Mm-mm-mm-mm. So he comes in when you're born again and he becomes one with your spirit and he begins to build his house. But wherever we've joined with the enemy, us adulterers that we are, that house has got to fall. And every relationship with the enemy has to fall. And there is the houses colliding against each other that he talks about in Luke 11. So now, I like that God's not going to share a house with the devil. Does he say a double-minded man receives nothing of the Lord? Mm-mm-mm. So, Satan wants to take the place of the Father. He wants to be in charge of the plans. And that's why he's not personally. And I mean, don't make this a gospel or anything. I'm just telling you, if I'm trying to put it together. If he only imitates. He only tries to make his kingdom look like the Lord's. That's it. So he is sending out all these little demons, these princesses. I think the one that would probably take the place of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, who do we call master? We call Jesus master. So with what we studied today, who would be the master spirit? Mammon. I think the one to take the place of Jesus and try to be master of our life is the spirit of Mammon. Now, I don't think it's one spirit because it's not possible. There's only one individual demon that can be in one person at a time. It's not like the Holy Ghost, okay? So here we got us, but they're still going to have names, biblical names. We don't have to make up names, they're biblical names. So I think Mammon, and what that thing means is it's a spirit of the world. It's a spirit that is based on the world system, which Satan's the god of this world, and it compromises and it talks to you and negotiates with you on how to be successful in this world, how to cope in this world, how to believe what this world's judgments are and value is. So it can bring prejudice in there. It can bring, feminist in there. It can bring macho. It can bring all the junk of the world. Everything nasty you see where people are competing to feel better about themselves. Everything counterfeit. Everything about that. It can bring all of that in there. So you realize that's the spirit we're talking about. We're not talking about money. Okay? We're not talking about money. Greed is a spirit, but greed, I don't even know so much if greed is a spirit. Greed is a fruit. Greed means give me, 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 give me. Greed came in at the curse. We can't get in all that today, but at the curse, Adam was told, from now on when you work, you won't be satisfied. And it will take a lot of hard work, but you'll never be satisfied. The curse took away God as the supplier. The curse took away the easy life of being in the rest, which we talked about earlier. So now greed is a give me. Greed is the spirit or the heart condition or the fruit, whatever you want to call it, behind lust. Lust is give me sex. Give me sex. It's an unclean greed. Greed about money is give me money. Give me money. Money will take care of this. Success will take care of this. Do you get the idea? It's all about how you can take care of your stuff and how you can feel like you have value and how you. It doesn't matter who you use. It doesn't matter every relationship you're going to use. Okay? So we want to deal with that. That is a big boy in this thing. Now, in the real, the fruit of something real is going to be giving. The opposite of lust is generosity.